A reading from the Book of Wisdom. The godless say to themselves with their misguided reasoning, "Let us lie in wait for the virtuous man, since he annoys us and opposes our way of life, reproaches us for our breaches of the law, and accuses us of playing false to our upbringing. He claims to have knowledge of God and calls himself a son of God. Before us he stands, a reproof to our way of thinking. The very sight of him weighs our spirits down. His way of life is not like other men's. The paths he treads are unfamiliar. In his opinion, we are counterfeit. He holds aloof from our doings as though from filth. He proclaims the final end of the virtuous as happy and boasts of having God for his father. Let us see if what he says is true. Let us observe what kind of end he himself will have. If the virtuous man is God's son, God will take his part and rescue him from the clutches of his enemies. Let us test him with cruelty and with torture, and thus explore this gentleness of his and put his endurance to the proof. Let us condemn him to a shameful death. Since he will be looked after, we have his word for it." This is the way they reason, but they are misled. Their malice makes them blind. They do not know the hidden things of God. They have no hope that holiness will be rewarded. They can see no reward for blameless souls. The word of the Lord. The passage from Wisdom might have been written about Jesus. Indeed, we're right to think it was, because although it was written more than 100 years before his time, it is part of the prophetic preparation for his coming. What is being foretold in Wisdom and fulfilled in Jesus is something we do need to meditate on these days. We find ourselves often caught up in debates about moral and ethical issues. What is it to be a virtuous person, a righteous person, a morally good person? What does that entail in matters of social justice, in matters of care for life and the integrity of creation, in matters of sexual behavior? When we Christians put forward what we believe to be gospel values on these issues, we can find ourselves being labeled as evangelicals or just Catholics or of the religious right. Whatever the label, the point is that we are being opposed and sometimes ridiculed for bringing God into the picture. Now, that's what the people described in the Book of Wisdom were saying about the virtuous man. They were saying he claims to have knowledge of God, to have God for his father, and he dares on that basis to be a reproof to our way of thinking. The first thing we believers might say when faced with these attempts to sideline God from the moral debate is that God must not alone be present, but must be at the heart of all real discussion about virtue or humanly good behavior. If God is to be God, God cannot be leaving humans to work out their own salvation just on their own terms. The critics of the virtuous man in our text from Wisdom thought they had a way of proving that was nonsense. They argued, if the virtuous man is God's son, as he says he is, God will take his part and rescue him. So let us test him. Test him by making him suffer and even by killing him. Jesus let himself be put to that kind of test. And God did take his part, showed Jesus was right. God raised him from the dead. Is there some way you and I can show ourselves to be followers of Jesus when we're challenged about bringing religion into the contemporary moral debate? The first thing we might do would be to bring what our reading from Wisdom calls the gentleness of the virtuous person to the debate. Jesus didn't take on his suffering and death as a kind of game in which he would come out on top, so as to be able to say, I told you so, I was right all the time. What Jesus wanted above all else was not to catch people out, but to bring people, especially his own people, to true knowledge of the true God. If they came to know God properly, they would know that the moral teaching of Jesus was right. That was his great, gentle desire. So gentleness, the desire to influence and to convert, and not a vindictive desire to best our opponents. Another way of imitating Jesus in these moral debates would be to show in our own lives that the moral values we stand for make us become persons who are happy, fulfilled, fully alive. Living the Christian life faithfully, all of it, and not just bits and pieces that we turn into causes, living the whole of it can be costly, but it is a cost that pays off in resurrection. And resurrection life is present already on earth in the smile and the joy that we show the world to be the fruit of our Christian behavior. That is the thing that can best make our opponents stop and think. Being resurrection people is the best proof we can give them that God is with us. So if people who oppose us were to feel our gentleness rather than our anger, and if they were to see that the way we live out our own moral teaching makes us happy, fulfilled, fully alive people, then we might have a real hope that they would open their minds to what wisdom calls the hidden things of God, and that they might come to share our belief that the moral teaching we put forward is the one that can make people really happy, now and forever.